afternoon. I'm Rebecca Pierce. This is Inspiration Corner, and we're coming to you live from 97.3 FM on a beautiful Thursday afternoon in Richmond. And I, once again, have brought in some, hopefully, some fabulous guests. I wanted to talk today about an issue I don't think I've ever talked about on the show, and that is caring for our elderly. My grandmother just turned 91 on January the 23rd, and she is now in a nursing home. But prior to that, for many years, she lived in assisted living. And so I wanted to bring in some people who could give us a closer look at independent and assisted living facilities. So I brought with me today Ms. Michelle Caldwell, who's the Director of Business Development for Beaufort Towers Retirement and Assisted Living Community, and Tara Shrewsbury, who's the Executive Director. How are you ladies doing today?
We're doing good. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here, and we're like rushing today, but we're gonna get settled and get this done. tell me a little bit about the history of Beaufort Towers, because I had the pleasure of visiting it a couple of months ago, early December, and I thought it was a beautiful facility. I've never seen anything like it, and so I want you to tell us a little bit more about Beaufort Towers and its history.
Well, Beaufort Towers has been around for quite some time. We're approaching our 25th year in business coming up real soon, and we started out pretty much retirement, and mm-hmm. in the past couple years, in the past probably 10 years or so, have predominantly worked with assisted living. We also have the independent component, but we are mostly, care for, for folks who have some sort of need, but, want to be in a, secure environment. Mm-hmm.
As well as our pavilion. We do have a memory care unit that provides care for those folks with memory impairments such as Alzheimer's or dementia. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to get into a little bit more of that, because that I thought that was fascinating about your facility when I visited, was that you had an Alzheimer's floor, so to speak.
Yes.
And I definitely wanted to get in that, because I've never heard of or seen anything like that where you have like three different components. You have retirement,
right,
and assistant,
mm-hmm.
and Alzheimer's.
Right.
And retirement is also called independent?
Correct.
Independent living, okay. So what sets your – so is that one of the things that sets your facility apart from others, is that you have those three different floors, so to speak?
Actually, it is one of the elements that sets us apart. I think something that really sets us apart, of course, is just the care that we provide and our mm-hmm. staff. We just have it becomes a family. Everyone there is like a family. One of the other things that is a wonderful component, when someone comes in, whether they be independent or at different levels of needing assisted living, they can choose any apartment mm-hmm. and stay there. So it's not labeled, so to speak, that certain halls are for different levels of care. Everyone is integrated
okay.
together, with the exception of our pavilion, of course, because for their safety, mm-hmm. they have to be kept on a separate wing.
So okay, let's talk a little bit about the history then of assisted livings. I mean, it used to be when your parents or someone got older, you couldn't take care of them,
mm-hmm.
you put them in a nursing home. And my mother's
mm-hmm.
been a CNA. A nursing home nurse for over 20 years, and I grew up around nursing homes, and sometimes it's just such a bad word for people, nursing home.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about how maybe this new concept kind of came to be about assisted living.
Okay.
Well, years ago, when somebody needed assistance or needed care, that was the only option they had, was a nursing home.
Mm-hmm.
And over the last, you've really seen a change really in the last 10 years, but, gradually even before that, with where folks were starting to look for an alternative to nursing homes. Like you said, nursing homes had such a stigma,
yeah.
Way back, and there's been, regulations and things like OBRA and things like that have really addressed, making them more home-like and really changing. So the nursing home of today is not the nursing home of even 10 or 15 years
wow.
ago.
Mm-hmm.
So you see a lot of changes. When you go to a nursing home today, you're going to see more skilled nursing services.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see rehab.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to see, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and where people are being treated.
Mm-hmm.
So over the course of the last couple of years, people needed another option to be in a home-like setting, but still not be in a nursing home. So I think that's
mm-hmm.
where assisted living really has filled in the gaps for folks
so
in the community.
So it was assisted living, and I want to make it clear, what is the difference between assisted living and retirement or independent living? Assisted living is where you can have your own apartment, like my grandmother, who had her own apartment, but it was in a secured building,
mm-hmm.
and she would have a nurse come in like once a week and make sure that everything's okay. Is that, how is that different from retirement and independent living?
Well, retirement independent, and us having it in the same building, sometimes those lines are skewed somewhat because you see people, you know, of varying levels. I mean, we have a term in healthcare called ADLs, or activities of daily living. And basically, you look at somebody based on what their activities of daily living are and what they can do for themselves versus what they can't. Usually, if they need assistance in two or more of those activities of daily living, then they're considered assisted living. Whereas, and those activities of daily living are things like bathing, dressing, grooming, you know, just those basic things that we do day to day sometimes that we take for granted. Being able to comb your hair, you know, do you need assistance preparing your meals, money management, that type of thing. And you find if you need more assistance with those ADLs that you move through the continuum and now you're more assisted living. Whereas the more things you do independently, you know, the less likely you are to be in assisted living.
Well, you can think just simple things. If someone has arthritis and they need assistance buttoning their shirt, you know, that's a daily living situation where you just need some assistance with that. And the goal of assisted living is to maintain their independence and their integrity and their dignity as much as possible and let them still enjoy life.
I like that. And when I visited your facility a couple months ago, what really struck me was that the first of all, the decor of the facility was really beautifully done. And then when I got to see an apartment, and one of my questions to the young woman who was giving me the tour was, do these come furnished or do you have to bring in your own furniture? Because it was so well set up. And I was like, wow, this is beautiful. And then I was like, wow, how does this happen? You know, what are the steps people have to take in order, you know, if this is something that they're interested in? How would one go about researching whether or not they want it to be in assisted living or in independent living?
Well, that's something, and actually Tara can elaborate on that a little bit better than I do. That's something that's actually determined by the director of nursing.
Okay.
When someone comes in and they want to move into our community, they have to have an assessment given to them, even if by all indications they're completely independent.
Okay.
They still have to go through an assessment form that's called an AUI. And then the director of nursing, which can also be given, obviously, by our executive director or assistant director of nursing, they determine what level of care they are at by the scores that they obtained on this universal assessment instrument.
Okay. And so once they get that evaluation, so to speak, then they you know, choose an apartment, whatever's available, and you go from there, is that how it works?
Right. And we have, you know, we are licensed by the Department of Social Services.
Okay.
So, you know, Department of Social Services will require certain pieces of paper that we have to have on file. And we have a history and physical that your physician has to complete. And it doesn't have to be completed for independent, for people who don't have any real, you know, needs for ADL care. But it's a good idea to have that baseline. And we at Beaufort Towers try to get that on everybody just so we have a baseline. So when you come in, we know, you know, on this date, you really didn't need any services. So that as things change and maybe as you age, that if there are needs that you have, then we can identify when those changes happened and be able to help, you know, really understand the whole person and really what's where it stops and where it starts as far as the needs are.
I like that. If you're just tuning in, this is Inspiration Corner, and I'm your host, Rebecca Pearson. We're coming to you live from 97.3 FM, and today we're talking about taking care of our elderly, a closer look at independent and assisted living facilities. Now, that's if you want assisted living. What if you're looking for just retirement? Do you still have to do an assessment?
You do, because all of our rooms are licensed assisted living.
Okay.
Now, what you have to realize, the advantage of that is that, of course, we're all getting older.
Yes.
So when someone does come in at retirement, they can stay right there in that apartment. They don't have to move or downsize again. So as their level of care increases or decreases, you know, sometimes something happens, someone has a fall, and their level of care may go up. But then through rehab, their level of care can go back down.
Okay.
And they can stay right there.
And so with assisted living, you can bring in your own nurse? Your own nurses, or how does that work? Like, if you have to have that care, do you have on-site medical personnel, or can you bring in an outside nurse?
Well, we're fortunate in that we do have our own nursing staff. However, people from time to time will bring in their own private duty companions sometimes. And it, you know, that sometimes allows people to age in place a little bit longer. And, you know, because there are some times when we can't meet their needs on a continuous basis, but we will work with them and work with the families on allowing them to bring in a companion sitter or, you know, at the end stage, we also provide hospice care. And, you know, so we have
that's a whole
hospice,
other issue.
That's
yeah.
a whole
hospice,
other
yeah.
issue. But you can, you know, there's a lot of things that you can do, but we do have a very competent staff. And, you know, we have LPNs who are licensed on each shift, which is something that, a lot of folks may not have, because you're not required to have that in assisted living, but we just choose to do that. And then you have, you know, another level, which is your med techs and then your CNAs or your certified nursing assistants.
Okay, I like that. Let's talk a little bit more, get back to your Alzheimer's unit. What I really liked about the unit, well, I hate to say unit, it sounds like a hospital, but your care
wing.
Your wing for Alzheimer's, for the Alzheimer's persons. Once again, very beautifully done. Mm-hmm. It seemed like you couldn't tell that there was anything amiss in the air, because everybody, what I saw was, you know, people looked happy. The staff was very cordial to the persons. How did Beaufort Towers decide to include that that specific type of care in their program?
Well, it's one of the things they obviously, as we've talked about, people age, and to keep our residents there and them not having to move out of Beaufort, it's one of the things that the community decided to begin to provide. And so they created this wing. They do work off the Wonder Guard system, which is a wristband that they wear, so that, because of course people with Alzheimer's or dementia can wander or leave, and then it's unsafe for them. So we created this wing just for initially, you know, to help provide a place for our residents that may begin to need that level of care. And for the most part, that's usually what happens, is when a resident does graduate to that level of care, then they go there.
I it was just fascinating to me to see that. I was like, wow. Because, you know, unfortunately, and especially several years ago, 10, maybe 15 years ago, when you thought about Alzheimer's patients, they were stuck in an institution or, you know, sent away somewhere and not really given an opportunity to continue to live out their life, you know, have a quality of life. So I really respected that was being offered at your specific facility for those type of persons. But I know it must be very, very challenging to coordinate all of that. What are some of your most successful programs or pieces or events that you've put together for either your assisted living, Alzheimer's, or independent? What are some of your success stories?
Well, let me just take a minute and tell you a little bit about what we call the pavilion, which is our memory care. Some of the things that we have actually just recently over the last 6 months integrated there that we're very proud of and are working very successfully are some Montessori-based activities that we're doing with the residents. In fact, they're doing 4 Montessori-based activities per day with them. And sometimes, unfortunately, when you do go into a memory care wing or area, you won't see things that are stimulating the mind, because they just assume that they're already digressing. But, you know, you can still, and studies prove that you can keep that mind stimulated and it won't digress as fast. And so these are activities that are like the Montessori schools for kids. Everything's very hands-on, matching colors, matching shapes. We also have created learning stations, very similar to like learning centers that you'd see in school, but we use real life things. Whereas you would have a full size baby bassinet, and the ladies, and it's wonderful. The ladies can fold, you know, baby clothes, which they love to do. And you'll take the baby out and let them hold the baby, and working things in the kitchen, where of course everything is safe, but they can work with the pots and pans and simulate life activities. I think that has been a huge success, and we've seen, even which the goal is the happiness level of the residents, and we've seen it go up tremendously on the pavilion since we've been doing these activities.
I like that. That's stimulation. People, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of people think once you get old, it's over. You shouldn't be doing anything anymore. You know, basically just lay down and die. But one of the things that I loved about my grandmother when she was living in assisted living was that she still maintained her sense of freedom and individuality. And, you know, she got to have her own TV. She got to have her own refrigerator. She could do her own cooking. Right. And we loved that. And then, you know, unfortunately, when her kidneys started to fail and they said nursing home, I cringed. I was like, oh, God, I know what nursing home means. But, you know, but ironically, she's in a very good place. And they take excellent care of her. And you want to feel like that with your elderly, because that's becoming a major issue now, especially with the baby boomer generation getting ready to retire. And the sandwich generation, which is those who are in their 50s taking care of, I guess, their parents who are in their maybe their 80s. You know, that is a serious issue. What do I do with my parents when they are no longer able to take care of themselves, or they want to move out of their home and move to a smaller facility and be more independent? That is an issue. Do you know of maybe what are some of the statistics for maybe the number of assisted living facilities that are coming up now, or why are they becoming more popular, more successful?
I think that for assisted living, I mean, we've kind of seen a slowdown as far as facilities being built. I think, you know, about 10 years ago, we really, you saw
a
companies
mm-hmm.
really, really looking toward that baby boom generation. And, of course, the baby boomers haven't completely come on stage just yet. So,
yeah.
You know, they overbuilt initially, uh-huh. and now you're kind of seeing things starting to catch up. And so probably within the next 5 to 10 years, you'll probably see that take off again,
okay.
where they, you know, start building again. And I know at one time it was even difficult to get loans
really?
For assisted living. You know, there were so many criteria that had to be mm-hmm. met that it was really difficult. You just couldn't go out and say, I want to open up a, you know, assisted living or whatever. But you've seen that. There's not a certificate of need for assisted livings like there are with nursing homes.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
That's probably primarily due to the funding situation, because most nursing homes are, you know, primarily funded through
yes,
Medicare,
mm-hmm.
Medicaid funds, whereas most assisted livings are private pay. Not all, but most.
Are private pay. Mm-hmm. So you think in 10 years there'll probably be another boom?
I'm thinking in 10 years we're really yeah. going to see another drastic change. And I know Virginia's really working right now. They've really changed a lot of their the regulations and where we're headed as a state, you know, with assisted living and trying to ensure that when those baby boomers do hit the age of needing assistance, that we're going to be ready from all standpoints to make sure we're going to be able to provide those services that they need.
I thought of something off the cuff here. I know, and I actually kind of picked up when I visited your facility. You know, they say women outlive men by many years. Do you find, or have you found, that you have a lot of women, single women, in assisted living or even in retirement, in your independent living wing?
We do right now primarily have more women than mm-hmm. men. We have some wonderful men. I
met one. He was fabulous.
Yeah. to the older fellas. They're just really special. But, you know, you do see that a lot. But one of the things that I think we've seen at Beaufont in the last couple years is some very outstanding men who come mm-hmm. in to have that peace of mind for their wives. Their wives need more care than they do.
Okay.
And they're there
for their wives.
To stand in the gap for their wives. Mm-hmm. And
I have never
seen so many wonderfully compassionate men who've given up a lot just, you know, to give the care that their wives deserve. And they don't want to not, I mean, mm-hmm. they want to be the ones to do it. They want to have us as backup.
Yeah.
But they want to be there to take care of those needs for them. And it's just very humbling and very sweet.
Girl, don't you wish a man was like that still?
Well,
that's a whole other discussion.
You know, they say good men are hard to find, but, you know.
Can we talk about that tomorrow?
Okay. Another topic, right?
I did, if you don't mind, I just wanted to interject mm-hmm. something here about what Tara was saying, which is, a wonderful advantage to assisted living, because a lot of times with a husband and wife, you do have one that has had a stroke or has had something happen to them, and it is very difficult to take care or even bring someone in to help mm-hmm. care in the home. And then you have the other spouse dealing with so much guilt and anxiety over everything and afraid to go out and have any sort of a social life anymore.
Yes, that's very true.
And I mean, it happened with my grandfather and my grandmother. He would not. She had Alzheimer's, and she mm-hmm. died about a year and a half ago, and he just would not let anyone else help take care of her. So because of that, he digressed tremendously in his health mm-hmm. because he just exhausted himself caring
for
her.
Yeah.
And they can come into, you know, a community like ours at Beaufont. We have really large 2-bedroom apartments.
Yes, I see.
You know, and right. And one can stay in one room, one can stay in the other. They can still maintain, you know, as healthy of a relationship as possible. And yet there's not that guilt factor. There's nursing staff. There's people to clean the apartment, housekeeping, everything, and then the other resident or spouse can still live a full life of independence while the other one's cared for. So it's a for not to coin a phrase, but it is a beautiful thing.
I like that. And I liked it so much, I asked the young lady, can I move in?
Yeah. You know what? I said the same thing. Can I come and eat in the dining room and have my house clean and all of
that? It was so nice. I was like, can I move in? She's like, unfortunately, you have to be 55. Darn.
That's right.
That's not fair. Once again, if you just tuned in, this is Inspiration Corner, and I'm your host, Rebecca Pearson. I'm chatting today with my guests, Michelle Caldwell and Tara Shrewsbury from Beaufont Towers Retirement and Assisted Living Community. And we're talking about taking care of the elderly, a closer look at independent and assisted living facilities. So tell me, where do you see Beaufont Towers what role do you see them playing in the community of the elderly here in the Richmond area?
Well, we've hired quite a few new staff members here lately, Michelle being one of them. Michelle's come on in the last year, and one of the things I think we're really excited about is some of the new partnerships we've forged. You always want to be involved with your community, but we want to be involved on a different level. We want to be involved from a legislative standpoint.
Okay.
We want to be the go-to people in the community. If there's questions or people have situations that they want to ask about, we want them to call us, even if it's not us that they're looking for, even if it's not assisted living that they're looking for. If they just have questions about, long-term care in general,
okay. We want to be a source.
We want to be a source.
I like that.
For that, but I think with the changes that are coming with legislative issues and with the new regulations, we want to be in the forefront of those changes.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing we really didn't get into, and probably won't today because it's another big issue, but the idea of long-term care and short-term disability and why it's something we really need to be considering, long-term care, because like you said, some of these assisted living facilities are private pay. Mm-hmm. And then there are places where you have to, have certain insurances and all that to be allowed to live there. So that's another big issue, especially with in the African-American community where insurance is not a big thing, where people in our community don't really believe in that long-term care. Because I can tell you right now, I tell my husband, we need to get long-term care. Oh, no, we don't need long-term care. And I'm looking like, you don't know. Mm-hmm. And my mother's 53, and I'm asking her, do you have long-term care? I mean, if something were to happen to you, how can we take care of you? So that's another issue, and legislation is definitely something for the elderly that needs to be addressed more frequently. So I think that's very exciting. So what else can the community do to help organizations like yours take better care of our elderly? What are some things we should look for?
Well, I think you need to educate yourself. And for the adult children, especially with, of course, looking out for their parents and their concerns for their parents. A lot of times the adult children may live far away and don't come to mom and dad's house that often. And then all of a sudden at Christmas, they come home and they realize, wow, mom or dad have digressed.
Absolutely.
The sanitation of the home and the bills that have gotten behind and that sort of thing. So instead of letting themselves get caught off guard, there's several different things they can do. Like I said, if they live close by, then they themselves need to be coming in and not just talking on the phone and saying, how are you doing? Because what's mom or dad going to say?
Oh, I'm fine. Yes, my grandmother
fine,
does that. Yes.
Because they want to maintain that independence. And you know what? Understandably so. But that still, the kids need to come by. And if they can't, if they live too far away or if things get too busy, then call someone from their parents' church.
Absolutely.
Have some volunteers go by. There's lots of community service organizations too that can do that sort of thing. Or, if you're educating yourself and you're looking at different assisted living facilities, call them. See if someone can come by. Like if they need them to come and check, and like our director of nursing, come in, give an assessment, how mom or dad are doing, what do you recommend? That type of thing can certainly be done even from our standpoint.
Absolutely. So when you're looking at a facility, once you've done all that and you realize that your parents or your grandparents need to be in a place where they're getting better care or more care, what are two things we should look for when we're looking at a long-term care facility, like an assisted living place or independent living place? What are two things we should be looking for? What should we be asking?
Right. There are actually a couple of different websites and things that you can get on for questions to look at and things that you should do. But, one of the things that they say, and we actually welcome people to do this all the time, is just pop in.
Okay.
Now, the disadvantage of that is that there may not be someone readily available to give you a tour. So sometimes it's nice to have an appointment. We have had walk-ins. We've had up to 3 walk-ins at one time.
Wow.
But to come in and see how things go, we encourage people, come and spend half a day with us. Join in some activities with us. Come and have lunch with us. I mean, we pride ourselves in how delicious our food is.
Yeah, I smelled it. And I was wondering when I was there, I was like, can I stay for dinner?
It is. I mean, we have really, it's not the typical cafeteria type food that you would think. It's delicious. It's full service dining where you're waited on. Things are brought to you. And so that's what we do. We encourage, come in and check it out. And we offer respite. You could come and stay the weekend. But the good thing is, if you make this decision, so many times the senior adult waits until somebody has to make the decisions for them.
Okay.
And what I would like to just put out there and to encourage people is come and check these things out mm-hmm. for yourself, senior adults. Well, you can do it. Then you can make the decision. This is what I want to get rid of in
Absolutely.
My home to downsize.
Yes.
This is the apartment that I want to live in. And of course, you know, you're always going to make those decisions with your children, but that way you have been able to decide those things for yourself and
Absolutely.
Not wait until it's too late. And somebody has to do that for you.
Yeah. Like, the oldest, and that would be me, and I don't want to make that decision.
Right,
I don't
right. That's a heavy weight, isn't it?
It's a very heavy weight, and I don't think people don't think about that because it's just something they don't want to talk about. But they, mm-hmm. we need to encourage them. That's another reason why I wanted to do this show today about elderly care. Is we need to start paying attention because you know when I went to visit my grandmother once before she went to the nursing home, and I saw her not barely being able to walk down the hallway even with the guardrails.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With just a cane, you know, called my father immediately. There's a problem here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's in New Jersey. We're in Virginia. Why is someone, you know, not paying attention more closely to how she's walking
mm-hmm.
and how she's struggling to get into a car? And she's, you know, she used to go out all the time and that with the seniors and do things. And now she's always in a house watching, you know, soap operas,
right.
You know, something's wrong there. So I guess it is, you know, really accepting and realizing that we are getting older and we need to take better care of our elderly persons. So tell me quickly, how did each of you get involved with this? What drives you to stay involved with your...
Well, I think, interestingly enough, everybody has a reason to do what they're doing, and mine started a long, long time ago when I was a young girl. Somebody, one of the teachers that I had, took us to nursing homes.
Okay.
And that's how I got into it. I mean, you know, there's a sense that you wanted to do something and make a difference, and I think that's my story. I mean, and I just continued to do
to
it.
To do it.
I've been doing it for over 10 years now.
I love that. I love that. And you?
And my story is actually, my past is in education and mm-hmm. as well as in ministry. And oddly enough, even though I'm doing it in the healthcare industry now, that's exactly what I'm doing. I'm educating people just like we're doing right here. And it's ministry to people
that.
Because you're helping the families through mm-hmm. this crisis situation. You're loving them. You're nurturing them. And it's fabulous. I couldn't see myself doing anything else.
Well, that's a whole other show, to purpose, finding
that's
your purpose.
That's right. There we go.
Ladies, how can people find out more about Beaufort Towers? Is there a number or website they can?
Let me give you the phone number first of all. The phone number is area code 804-320-1412, and you can ask for Lauren Friedman, who does work with all of our families and give tours, or you can always ask for Tara or myself. We actually have three websites that you can go to. The first and most obvious is RUI.net. That is who owns our company, Retirement Unlimited Incorporated, but that's RUI.net. We also have pages on ShopCBS6. That has just come up. We also on SeniorOutlook.com.
SeniorOutlook.com.
Right.
Thank you, ladies, so much, Michelle and Tara, for coming in today. I appreciate
Thank you.
It.
Thank you
for having
us.
You're quite welcome. We'll have to come back one day and talk about hospice care. There's a whole other ballgame right there.
Right.
And as always, I want to end with my message for today. I think I found a good one from Frank A. Clark. We've put more effort into helping folks reach old age than into helping them enjoy it. And with that, thank you.
I like that too. Isn't that cool?
That is good.
I struggle finding those quotes, but I found one. With that, I want to thank you so much for tuning into Inspiration Corner. I'm your host, Rebecca Pearson. This is 97.3 FM WRIR. Join us next week when my guest will be Mr. Thomas Victory, CEO of the Urban League of Greater Richmond. And we're going to talk about what they're doing in the community and how we can be a part of that. So with that, thank you so much for tuning in. Have a good afternoon.